Questions to ask a mortgage lender. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We've got 14 pretty awesome questions today to talk about as you're approaching a mortgage lender. Now, we're thinking about a mortgage lender in terms of getting a rental property investment, right?
Right, but this checklist can work for any type of loan that you're looking for. So we have a free download. You can get it if you just click the link below the video, or if you're listening on audio, make sure you seek this out over the show notes. We also have a spreadsheet that will help you compare lenders because you want to make sure you talk to as many people as possible to make sure you are getting the exact best rate you possibly can, right?
Absolutely. So two free downloads for you.
Two today. In
the description below, click that link and you can download them for free. We've done a lot of work on these, so congrats on that. You get this stuff for free. Also, please subscribe to the channel. Click the subscribe button. If you're not already a subscriber, please, thank you so much. And hit that little bell notification if you're watching this on the video version. Okay, so why would we want to ask questions of a lender? Mostly we think we get on the phone with a lender, they're going to start asking us a ton of questions.
Right, so lenders don't dictate the terms of the loan, you do, right? You want to know when you're going to buy something that's an asset, either a performing asset or otherwise, how much money am I going to pay for money, right? So you want to make sure that you know all the terms so that it's not just the lender will say to you, okay, we'll give you this loan and your monthly payment will be X. Well, that says nothing about how much you're paying for that amount of money. What are the fees that are going to be associated with obtaining that money? What else do they need from you? There's all kinds of things that you could just get someone to say, this is your monthly payment, and you accept that loan. Come to find out later, they require you to have some kind of super expensive insurance that other lenders wouldn't have. And then you're in the end paying more for this product because you didn't know to ask all those questions. Now, we have learned all of this the hard way, so we know. So we decided to just write it all out for you so that you have this checklist, and then you need to pound the pavement. Don't just go to bankrate.com and see what's all written out there, right? Bankrate is a good place to start because it will give you people who do want to lend to you, but then you got to call them. You have to get on the phone. This is an old school way to do things.
Okay, so let's dive into those 14 tips and we will throw them right up here on the screen. So one of the first questions you would want to ask is, you know, what are your terms right now? If I'm a person in good standing with a good credit score, what are your terms for a 15 and a 30 year amortized mortgage?
Right, okay. If you want a different kind of loan, obviously, throw those terms in, like maybe you want a 10-year balloon or whatever, right? Just ask for the rates. That's the first tip, right? Second one, what's the minimum loan amount you will do? Now, a lot of times on an investment property, these banks don't want to go below a certain threshold. I've seen $60,000, $75,000. Some banks won't go below $40,000. You just need to know that, right? That's a good thing to keep in mind.
It also enables you to shop around because we worked with banks that will do loans as low as they can go. We actually have one bank that we work with where they compete in the office. One woman who works in this office at this bank, she competes with another person in the bank to see about getting the lowest loan, the smallest loan possible. Is it? Mm-hmm.
I'm currently winning the race because I have a loan for $12,000. Now, of course, a bank, a lot of times they don't like to do that because it costs them more in administrative costs than what they're going to make back on just the interest on $12,000. But some banks will do it. So, you know, just look around.
Yeah. All right. Third question you really want to ask your bank, and this is very, very important. Do you loan to investors? Or are you just loaning to a primary mortgage holder who's going to live in the property? You know, the husband and wife with the one kid, they just got married and they're, you know, they're looking to buy their first home and that's the only type of person they loan to. Or do you loan to investors?
Right. Related to that question, do you loan to LLCs? Or do you require loans in a personal name? Now, that may be that your banker is like, sure, I'll loan to you to buy this rental property, but it can't be held in an entity like an LLC or an S Corp or a corporation of some other sort. I want you to own it personally in your personal name. Now, we've done many episodes on why you may or may not, emphasis on not, want that, right? So that's for a separate question, but you need to know, that's for a separate topic, but you need to know whether or not they do it.
Right. And because that's going to open up some questions. For instance, this bank that we're talking about working with, they don't allow you to loan in an LLC. Well, what does that mean for us? Well, that means then we're going to buy the loan in our own name. We're going to get the loan in our own name. And then we are going to transfer that loan.
We just have to do some title switches, right? And there are, again, other learning lessons to go along with that. We're not telling you what to do. We're telling you to ask the question. And then you've got to make a decision appropriately. Now, a lot of times, if you get a loan in an LLC, the bank wants to ask you for a personal guarantee. This is another one of our questions. Ask if they require a personal guarantee.
What does that mean?
This means that if the company, the LLC, defaults on the loan, you personally pledge your personal assets to pay back that loan. Most of the time, that's not a big deal. If you're a lender, the personal guarantee helps you to sell that loan a little bit easier because someone else may assume that loan if there's a personal guarantee to it. I think that for the most part, that should be fine. There may be some reasons you don't want to do that, like say your assets are not yours, or you have some sort of like prenuptial agreement, your spouse is not in on that, right? There are reasons to do it and reasons not to do it. Ask the question. It's important to know if there are personal guarantees attached to your loans.
If you are getting an investment loan, very often you'll see things thrown around, even right here on our channel, you'll see different people saying, hey, I'm able to get this loan at 80% loan to value or 75% loan to value. So our next question that you want to ask your lender is, what is the loan to value ratio of the loan you are going to provide? So let's just take hypothetically a home equity line of credit as a particular loan. Typically on a home equity line of credit, they're going to give you 70 or 75% or maybe sometimes 80% loan to value. Meaning if the house is worth $100,000, they're going to give you, and it's all paid off, right? You have $100,000 in equity. They're going to give you a loan for $80,000. That's 80% a loan to value ratio.
Right. That's a little bit more complicated. The simplified way of asking this, though, is like, what percentage do you require me to pay to buy this house, right? The house is worth $100,000. You require 20%, then I need $20,000, right? You just need to know the percentage that the bank will cover the remaining purchase. So the bank then is saying, we'll pay for 80% of this house, you pay for 20. That way you can calculate your down payment. Some investment banks, specifically banks that lend to investors, don't go any lower than say 30%. A lot of times these investment loans require more for you to have more skin in the game. So make sure you know that, right?
Right. All right, another big question is about points.
Right. Do you pay points? Now, points are just the administrative fees that they're charging you in order to put this loan in place. It's usually equal to 1% the purchase price. So in the example we just gave you, a $100,000 house is going to cost $1,000 if they're charging you 1 point. If they're charging you 2 points, it's $2,000, right? This does not have anything to do with the principal that you're paying back to them. It's just a fee. It's usually paid at closing, so they've already made that. You're going to have to pay for that out of your pocket unless you choose to finance it, which you definitely should not do. Do not finance anything that is not related to your principal, right? Please don't do that.
Yeah, do not finance points. Also, fees, right? What other, there's another question you should ask, what other initiation fees? And you don't want to be surprised. You know, when I had my first loan, I was surprised at all of the additional fees beyond what I had thought were going to be in the loan. When I sat down at the closing table, you know, and like all these additional fees are in this.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then, we didn't have digital versions of our loans, right? You showed up and you kind of went through it at the closing table and you kind of be overwhelmed. Now we have a chance to look at these things a few days ahead of time.
Right. You can say, this is not good. Like a lot of times I'll get a closing statement and I'll realize you didn't give me credit for the deposit that I put down. Like I'll put down $5,000 in earnest money and then I'll see that it's missing from the HUD. And so they're expecting me to come up with an additional $5,000. And I'm like, homie, don't play that.
Nope.
So that's a good reason to go over your closing statements, but also take a look at those fees and ask beforehand, what are the fees going to be? In fact, you know, we like to think we're such pros at this, but we had a closing just last fall where we were surprised by some of the fees. We were like, where'd this come from, right? Because we just didn't think to ask extra questions. So just be as crystal clear as you can, like, tell me everything you charge for before we get to, because you don't want to get to the point where they've already run your credit. You've got a term sheet and you're like, wait a minute, I don't like this. You've gone too far now, right? Ask it in the first conversation.
Today's episode is brought to you by Blinkist. Oh, I love these guys. If you're like me, there's so many great business books out there that you want to read or people suggest that you read all the time. I was on a phone call the other day where someone's like, oh my God, you've got to check out this. You've got to check out this book. You probably just don't have time to read them all. Well, there's an app for that that I highly recommend that will solve this problem for you once and for all. It's called Blinkist, and it has all the famous titles from authors like Gary Vaynerchuk, Tim Ferriss, Seth Godin. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them. Blinkist is made of busy people just like you who want to get the main points of the books quickly without having to read the entire book. With the audio feature, Blinkist makes it so easy to finish 4 books a day. 8 million people are using Blinkist right now and has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health to history books. I mean, I like Blinkist because I like to take walks. You know, I like to take walks, and in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast track my path to more intelligence, more informed, more healthy me. I just read a sleep book. I just read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss again. You know, I read it years ago, and then with Blinkist, I was able to do it again because there's a new revised and updated edition, and I hadn't yet read it. So with Blinkist, I'm able to get all of the new key takeaways in just a few short minutes. You don't need necessarily to read a 400-page book to get the 3 key takeaways from that book. I mean, it's just the truth, right? So check them out right now for a limited time. Blinkist has a special offer for our audience. So go to blinkist.com/investing to start your 7-day free trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/investing to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/investing. Thanks, Blinkist.
Here's another great question to ask, and you don't want to be blindsided by this, is do you allow prepayment of my loan, or are there any prepayment penalties? And you want to avoid prepayment penalties. I mean, there's so many banks out there. There's so much money available right now for people to invest. You should not be paying a penalty if you're paying back that loan more quickly, because really, banks want to keep that money moving. Right? So if you're paying it back more quickly, they're making some great interest. They're going to want to work with you again on your next property. They're going to want to keep working with you, and they're going to want to make sure that you're able to pay it back quickly. So if part of your strategy is, hey, I'm going to have these tenants in my rental property paying down my mortgage very, very quickly, and I'm going to be able to make extra payments and pay this thing off quickly, and then you find out from your lender, sorry, you've got to pay this thing for 15 years or 30 years. You're screwed. You don't want that.
So just ask. A lot of times they have like a sliding scale. We had one that if you paid it off in the first year, it was 5%. If you paid it off in the second year, it was a 4% prepayment penalty, all the way down. And after 5 years, it was 0. Then there was no prepayment penalty because they wanted to make sure they were going to make their money for at least 5 years. But they also had this rule about you couldn't pay more than 20% the principal in any one given year, or else they would charge you, because they wanted, again, to make sure there was a guaranteed amount of return for them on this loan. And that really confused me. I think I called them like 4 times to make sure, like, when does that 20% start? Is it 20% of the principal at the beginning of each year, or 20% the principal overall? I could not figure that out. So I stalked them until I figured it out. So just be willing to ask as many, you know, a lot of times I use Clayton's line where it's like, explain to me like I'm 4 years old, this thing. And then, I don't care if they think I'm dumb. I just need to know. This is my money we're working with.
There are no dumb questions, right? So teach me like I'm 4 years old, really. You know, don't give me all this banker lingo and hide stuff behind banker lingo. Give me the truth. Give it to me straight so I can understand it. Another thing you want to have given to you straight is how quickly can we close this thing? Because if you've got a great deal, so the next question is, how quickly can you close this investment loan? Because if you've got a great deal on the line, you've got a great house that you found, and you need to move quickly on it, because that's how very often deals move when you're investing in real estate, right? A lot of our deals.
I'm glad you did this so that you understand.
A lot of our deals moving my hands fast. Close within 10 days. You want to be able to close these things quickly. So how quickly can they close? And if they give you a load of steam, they're blowing smoke, you can see through this. So I would ask them, how quickly can I close a loan? And we've asked this of different private money lenders, hard money lenders and different things and bankers. Well, we can probably do it in about 3 weeks, mm-hmm. 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. Is that being too optimistic? Or are you just trying to sell me? Is that really, can we close it that quickly? Because then they're going to start, if they start with extra paperwork and crap on the third week, you're like, we're not closing this in 3 weeks. Now it's going to be like a month and a half.
Right.
So you want them to be clear on how quickly they can close this stuff.
Exactly. Now you also want to know, do you require borrowers to escrow the taxes and the insurance payments? I have a whole blog post on my site about how I do not suggest that you do this if you're given the option. So you want to make sure that you know this before you commit to a lender. I've had so many people say, I tried to get out of this escrow account, because what the bank will do is charge you to open an escrow account and charge you extra money on top of your payment every month. And they keep it in a coffer and then they pay the taxes and insurance. And a lot of times they pad those accounts. So you're having to come out more money out of pocket every month in order for them to pad this escrow account and make this payment, right? And so there's all kinds of reasons why that's not a good idea. But sometimes banks will say, we don't allow you to not do it, meaning we require you to have an escrow account. So if you can avoid a bank that does that, do it. Ask right out of the gate so that you know 100% whether or not they allow it or not, because you don't want to be surprised with those rules.
Right. Here's a little sidebar question that you can ask too. Like, if you get the sense that when you're talking to these people, they don't fully know their own rules at the bank, like, make sure they give you an actual rule from that bank. Have them call you back, you know, like,
yeah.
Hey, Sally, it sounds like you don't fully know the answer to my question.
I can talk to a manager there.
Right. Can you please check this? Because this is going to make or break my decision to work with you. So don't be shy in that.
And in the Excel spreadsheet that we give away for you to compare lender by lender, these questions are a pull down. So you don't have to type in yes or no. You click the arrow and you put in yes or no. That's a yes or no question. There's no maybe about it. Mm-hmm. Some banks actually allow for just the taxes and not the insurance. That's weird. Just like get a yes or no for this. Don't work with anybody who's going to give you the runaround.
Our next question that you want to ask, what are your insurance requirements on this property? What are your insurance requirements? Do I need to have full replacement coverage, vandalism coverage? Like, what do I need to have on this thing in order to be protected? We should also mention in the link below, we've got a great insurance partner. It's what we use on all of our properties. Click the insurance link below and you can get an umbrella policy. Very easy to log in and put all of your properties into one comfortable dashboard, and you're going to get the lowest rates possible for insurance. But a great question to ask them.
Exactly right. Okay. Do you require an inspection? And if so, who pays for that? You want to ask the bank right out of the gate. A lot of times you pay for the inspection out of your own pocket. That's standard. Sometimes they want an inspection and an appraisal. So make sure you know who pays for what, when it can be done. A lot of times that's the thing that holds you up. We had this property where we were waiting for the appraisal to come back, which we had paid for. And the appraiser took a month and a half, went all the way past our closing date, and we couldn't get a hold of them. So we made them refund our money for that appraiser. I have said many times on this show that I always cry when I'm securing a loan.
Yeah.
Probably like 3 to 5 good cries per loan product. Although this most recent one, I haven't yet, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, they've been good. Thanks for not making my wife cry.
Right. So that's one of the reasons.
That should be their tagline, like, by the way.
We don't make
Johnson
you cry.
Bank. I don't know what the Johnson Bank. We don't make your wife cry.
Right. So that's something that you need to know about. Like,
yeah.
How fast the appraisals work. Who pays for it? Do you need an inspection and an appraisal? You need to know these things.
Okay. And finally, what else can you tell me about the loan processing process so that I can be prepared with any supporting documentation? Because look, they always tell you, this is all we need. This is good enough. We need your tax returns. We need this and we need that. And we're good to go. They give you a list of things. We prepare it in a Dropbox folder. We put it all in there. And then they ask for 10 more things, mm-hmm. right?
So that's when I start crying.
Right. Can you just tell us up front what else you might need so that we can just give it to you ahead of time? Then you don't have to ask for it. It's all there.
Right. You don't want to figure out like, oh, they need fingerprints or an FBI background or something like that, right? That should be something they should be able to tell you out of the gate. Now, sometimes I'm going to give these lenders a break. They don't know what they're going to need. They think they've collected all of your documents, and then they send it to an underwriter, and an underwriter will ask some kind of crazy questions back. So we had one where our credit check or our background check had shown that our previous address was a commercial building. And so they wrote us back and they said, can you please explain why this address that shows up on your residential background check is a commercial address? And I looked at it and it was an apartment that we lived in New York City when we first got married, and we lived above the Whole Foods. And so that apartment was zoned a commercial building because there was a Whole Foods, there was a commercial space on the bottom floor. And so they said, okay, can you explain this address? And I wrote back an email that said, ha, 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 because I just found it so funny. And I said, no, we lived above the Whole Foods. We did not own it. We were renters there, although you would think we did because my husband ate breakfast there every day. And I said, what do you need to prove this, what I just told you? And the lender wrote back and said, this email will suffice. And I was like, great. So I never told Clayton about this. And then we went to the closing and we both were signing, and they said, we need you to sign this email. And he looked at it and he said, what is that?
This is ha, 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 ha.
And it was an email where I wrote, ha, 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 my husband ate at Whole Foods every day. But as long as he signed it saying, yes, that's true, we didn't own the Whole Foods, we just rented an apartment above it, that was fine. So these are things you obviously cannot be prepared for. But the loan that I'm working on recently, she asked for just a letter explaining certain things. And a lot of times you just do it, like open up a new template, write it out, and then sign it. And those are things that you can't be prepared for, no matter how much you use this checklist.
Yeah. So there you go. If you want the checklist, you want the spreadsheet, the link is below this show. You can click on that for free and grab it. It's free.
So there's a spreadsheet and a checklist.
Right.
So
go
use
grab
them.
It.
Yeah. Keep them handy.
And please subscribe, hit the little bell notification so you will be notified when there is a new episode. We thank you so much. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. We believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.